there going through it. Writing to people who lived amongst those who did not want to hear their message, who wanted them to go along with their way of thinking, to not rock the boat, to worship all kind of false gods, to buy into all sort of false practices. And even when there was a possibility of suffering, Peter encourages the church to do what is good, to be ready to give the answer for the hope that is within them. As Paul writes to that church in Colossae of saying, you know, conversations that are full of grace, salty speech, but so that you may know how to answer everyone. And in verse 18 it says, here's the breakdown of how you can answer everyone: to know that Christ is Lord, to be prepared to answer, and to know your hope. Do you know your hope? Do you know your hope in Jesus, church? That Christ died for your sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that we needed somebody who was greater than us, bigger than us, who was perfect because we are not, to take our place. The whole reason of it, to bring you to God. If you're saying, I could never share the gospel, there you've got it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Christ died for my sin, for my wrongdoing. He, the righteous one, took my place, a substitution. Why? To bring me to God. And that's what it's all about. And beyond that and above that, then you've got God answering prayer and the reality of who he is in your life. Know your hope. Salt can impact a nation. Do you believe it? Salt can impact a nation. Let me tell you a little story. There was once a tiny fishing village in Scotland called Aldhammer. And through time, it has been known in a number of names. It's been known as Priesttown and known as Salina de Preston. Quite flair in the plot. A little bit of Italiano and a little bit of, I think, Latin in there. Salina de Preston, Priesttown. Or if you're from Scotland, Aldhammer. In 1189, a group of Cistercian monks began the process of heating some 14-foot pans of salt water from the Firth of Forth. And it took about 14 hours and umpteen fillings of buckets of water where people would have to wade out into the river to as deep as they could go, fill the bucket, bring it back to the pan that was being heated with coal and with wood. And over a four-hour period, the water was boiled away and salt was left. And over the next 800 years, salt from what we would now know as Preston pans supplied the entire East Coast with salt that would preserve and enhance. Now, for salt to be sold, it had to be clean and it had to be pure. And these monks had a problem that would have them scratching their tonsured heads. The bald bits would have been cut off, or the hair had been shaved. Because the salt was dirty and the salt was impure. And it wouldn't sell. And to pure salt, they found that what they needed to do to get rid of the impurities so that the salt could be as effective as it could be, that they needed to apply bull's blood into the boiling water. Some of you are kind of screwing your faces up, kind of, that sounds gross, Gordon. I'm not having salt anymore. I'll just have sauce on it, thanks very much. In order for impurities to be removed, there had to be an application of blood. Can you see where the preacher's going with this? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews 9 and verse 12 says this, or let me read verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things, everybody say good things. Good things that are already here. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and of bulls, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained the eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. But how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Church, we have a covenant in blood, a new covenant in blood, made for the once and for all sacrifice, King Jesus, and the application of his blood over your life, get rid of all the sin and all the impurities so that you may enhance and preserve others' life, so that you can then be salt in your world, so that your speech might be salty, that would bless, that would enhance, that would bless others. It is of a covenant. Covenant is God's unbreakable and eternal promise. And what's more, in the Old Testament, salt represented the covenant relationship between God and his people. There is an expression in Jewish thought that says there is salt between us, speaking of the closeness of the relationship that was there. Salt was a purifying agent. Salt was a preservative, and therefore it began to symbolize a relationship that could not be dissolved. Salt that was an essential ingredient in everyday life, including sacrifices, that it became an easy step to make the connection between salt and covenant making. So in the nation of Israel, there was a thought that there was the covenant between man and God was symbolized in salt. Now, it didn't come in a branded packaging or anything like that, but it spoke of the closeness that was there. It spoke of the relationship that was there. It spoke of something that could not be dissolved. There is what the scripture speaks of, a covenant of salt. In Leviticus chapter 2, in verse 13, said that salt was to be added to all offerings. So salt would represent their worship. Salt would represent their surrender. Salt would have a notion of representing their repentance that was there. In Numbers chapter 18 and verse 19, speaking of the Aaronic covenant, the priestly covenant between that was being entered into, it was described as being a covenant of salt. This priestly position of representing God to the people and the people to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13 verses 4 and verse 5, King Abijah of Judah reminds Israel of the Lord's covenant of salt with King David. He said there, "Do you not know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt?" Speaking of authority and speaking of status. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament covenants. And he comes and he brings the new covenant. So when Paul says, "Let your speech be seasoned with salt," can I suggest to you that it would embrace some of these qualities of the Old Testament that is made real and applied into our life in the New Testament, that it might affect our worship. See, our worship is salty between us and the Lord. That it might affect our surrender, because it's between us and the Lord, that it might affect the genuineness and sincerity of our repentance when we get it wrong. That it might affect our status as priests of the new covenant. The ability for us, there's one mediator between man and God, right? The man Christ Jesus. But is our role, is worship, our role is being the hands and feet of Jesus to people who haven't experienced Jesus, of being a man or being a woman of God, almost operating in that priestly role of inviting people to that place of surrender, sacrifice, and worship. That we're salty. And that in that role of kingship that speaks of sons, it speaks of authority and that speaks of status, of not just who he is, but also who we are. That we can be a little bit salty. And when we speak and speak God's word, speak Holy Spirit-inspired words, that we are speaking salty words into people's life and into people's situations. So when Paul says, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, he's saying, let your word show the reality, the transformation, the talk of transformation of the new covenant in operation in your life, affecting your worship, affecting your role as a priest, affecting your role as a king in the kingdom of God. Let the words of and life be an act of worship. Let all you do and who you are be an act of worship, representing God to man, but doing it with the authority that comes from heaven, that as you speak and as you declare God's words, God's saltiness into people's lives. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2, what we would regard as the chapter immediately previous to being always ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Peter puts it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9. But you are a chosen people. That was a chance for amen, church. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 puts it like this, but you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. It's all about the salt, church. It's the salt in your life. The salty speech of your worship. Your praises of where you've been saved from and what you've been saved to. It's the saltiness of your surrender. It's the saltiness of your repentance. It's the saltiness of your role of carrying the kingdom of God and being the priesthood of all believers, of being part of a royal kingdom. You're chosen. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. A people marked out as salty because you belong to God. And in John chapter 15 and verse 15, as Jesus is speaking to disciples and talking to them about fruitfulness, talking to them about being the true vine, and talking about remaining in him, John 15 and verse 15 says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made it known to you. Because of sin. He commissions them to be salty. You're not a slave. You're not a servant. You're a friend of Jesus. You are, as Samba started our gathering this morning by saying, you are loved by God. But the reason that you are on the face of this planet is so that you can live out that love, so that you can express that love, so that you can tell that love to other people. Those that you do love, those that you bump into, and those that, if you're being really honest, you don't really like. You're called to have salty, grace-filled conversations, because then you'll be able to know how to answer them. Whether they want to bring you down, you're going to be able to lift them up because of God's love, because of God's words. So what are we saying as we end our time this morning? We are called to have a salty covenant. Yeah? We're called to be in covenant relationship through Jesus, through his death on the cross, through the new covenant that's made real in his blood. That means our sins are forgiven. Means that we're friends with God. The assurance of heaven when we die. But then that our outworking of that in our life means that we are called to be salty. and being the salt of the earth, but also to have salty conversations. We're going to pray. But as we do that, I'm going to pass the salt around and I'm going to pass the bowl. Now, I want you to put a little bit of salt on your finger with the bowl under you, because I don't want to be spending an hour tomorrow hoovering in here because of all the salt on the floor. Okay? I would like to invite you, if you would like to just put a little bit, a tiny bit of salt on your fingertip, and then stick it on your tongue to remind you today of the difference that a little bit of salt makes to enhance, to bless, to encourage, also to preserve. And maybe as you're doing that, it might be your prayer of gratitude to God for what he's done in your life. It might be that fresh moment of dedication of saying, Lord, thank you for the new covenant in Jesus. I commit myself afresh to living with it. It might be that you're saying, Lord, I know some of the people that I'm going to see tomorrow, that I'm going to see this week, and they're really going to wind me up, or they've done something bad to me or nasty to me, have spoken words against me, and I really want to give them a piece of my mind. But Lord, your word says I've got to have grace-filled conversations. Then my speech is to be seasoned with salt. So Lord, as I put this salt on my fingertip and put it in my tongue, I'm saying, Lord, would you give me grace and would you give me strength for this week? Saying, Lord, would you give me the right words to speak that might enhance the flavor of the kingdom of God, that might preserve my sanity, preserve my testimony for all those that are watching on. So I'm just going to start with Samba, if you want. Worship team, I'm going to invite you to come back and join me. We're going to sing as we do sing, the salt is going to come round. You don't need to do this. It might just be something that just enhances and seals in your heart what God has been saying to you. As we do that, let's pray. Father, would you help us to be salty? Lord, would you help us to be the salt of the earth? Lord, would you help us not to lose our saltiness? Lord, would you help us in our conversations? We confess there are some people, Lord, it's easy to have conversation with. We confess, Lord, there are people that we find it difficult and hard to have conversations with. Lord, would you give us grace? Would you give us strength? Father, we pray in those moments when there are people, Lord, who ask us questions that in and of themselves we don't know the answer. Father, would you enable us as we live as the salt of the earth, as we live with this covenant, this new covenant made real in Jesus. Lord, would you enable us to have the right words, to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And Father, we believe that salt can affect a nation. If a place like Preston Pans can affect the whole of the east coast of Scotland and of England, Lord God, then we believe, Lord God, that salt of the kingdom of God can affect a nation. And Lord, you call us to bring an effect for the kingdom of God. So Father, we pray that you would enable us. We pray that you would empower us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be salty for the kingdom of God. I pray and I ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Amen. Amen. Thank you.